ॐ सहनाभवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादं शङ्करं लोकशङ्करं शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीम् अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणीं यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तन्न विदुःसुरः सुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः Twelfth chapter, last two verses, let us read on the last page. Or before that, verse 18. Samashatrau cha mitre cha Tathamana pamanayoho शीतोष्ण सुख दुःखेषु समसंग विवर्जितः तुल्यनिन्दा स्तुतिर्मौनी संतुष्टो येन केनचित् अनिकेतस्थिरमतिः भक्तिमान् मे प्रियो नरः So these two last verses describe the samatvam. The important word is samah. Samah shatrau cha mitre cha. One is equal to the shatru, the enemy, mitra, friend, who looks upon them equally. Meaning an enemy and a friend, both of them create in him the same kind of response. What kind of response would that be? What is common between enemy and friend? They are mutually exclusive. One is not the other, other is not the one. How can you be samah? How can you be even-minded with both of them? So where we see they are mutually exclusive, which they are at a certain level, at the level of the personality, a friend is a friend, enemy is an enemy. A friend is a person who is always helpful to me, an enemy is the one who deliberately hurts, wants to hurt me. So certainly they are not equal from that standpoint. And still there is some equality there. What's the equality? The self that the friend is a self that the enemy is. Meaning that the core person of both of them is the same. Not only consciousness is the core person, but even simpler than that, even what I call enemy also is by nature a kind, good, loving person. That all of them are basically kind, good, loving persons, that's what they are. And whatever their personality is, whatever nature is only because of their upbringing, because of ignorance, whatever. And so it is not real. Everything that there is a combination of the real and unreal, or satyam and mithya. The satyam, the truth, comes in the garb and the clothing or costume of mithya. Just as electricity comes to the costume of bulb, and so also this truth, satyam, the self or Ishvara, comes before us in all these different costumes. The costumes are named as friend or foe. And if you only give reality to the costume, there is no similarity at all. But then the one who is manifest through the costume is one alone. He is in fact none other than Ishvara, none other than Brahman. Or even as I said, as a person also, each one is equal in as much as each one is basically a kind, good, loving person. So it's a matter of transcending the costume and connecting with the one who manifests through the costume. As when we are watching a play or a movie, how we transcend the costume and appreciate our favorite actor. Similarly also, because that if you know who the actor, if you know the characters of the actor, then you can always recognize him in any costume. Because he cannot cover his eyes, if you know him by eyes, you can always recognize him or her, whatever. And so also the wise person sees that. That Ishvara, God, Brahman alone comes in these various costumes. And not only Brahman is consciousness, satyam, jnanam, anantam, existence, intelligence, etc. But the manifestation of Brahman, is as I said, is of the nature of love and kindness and goodness. That love, kindness, goodness gets distorted because of ignorance. So anger also is not an expression of love, but a distorted expression. So whatever is, in fact, is an expression of this goodness. That there is the core, the goodness, a harmony, a kindness, love, that's the core reality in everything. However, an individual looks outwardly. So wise, what is called a wise person? The one who is wise with reference to what it really is. When the children fight for the shape of their ornaments, I want this ornament, not that ornament, because the designs are different. But the goldsmith is a wise person. And he transcends all the shapes and designs and appreciates them as gold, which is sama, which is equal to all the ornaments. This theme of samatvam or equality is one of the main teaching of Bhagavad Gita. Nirdosham is samam brahma. Lord Krishna says that Brahman, Ishvara, God, consciousness is nirdosham. Is free of any defect, free of any limitation. That no defect or limitation belonging to personality can ever affect the person. The person manifesting through all the personalities is one. And unaffected by the attributes, unaffected by the virtues and vices of the personality, nirdosham is samam brahma. It's very important that Brahman, the truth, is devoid of all attributes. Meaning he transcends all the attributes. All the attributes culminate into that. Unaffected by good or bad. Therefore, whatever the costume is, whether it is a friend or an enemy, just these two are mentioned as pairs of opposites because that is what we come across. The world is made of dvandva, or pairs of opposites. And various pairs of opposites are mentioned here, mana and apmana, honor and dishonor, stuti and ninda, praise and censure, shatru and mitra, friend and foe. Some of these, so these are representatives of all the dvandva, the pairs of opposites, of which this universe is made of. An ignorant person only gives reality to what is on the surface and keeps on reacting. Sees a friend and is overjoyed, and sees an enemy and is very angry. So thus an ignorant person who gives reality to only the costume keeps on always dancing the tune of what he comes across. There cannot be an evenness, no steadiness of the mind. One cannot enjoy peace of mind. One cannot enjoy freedom from stress. One cannot be happy. If what appears on the surface is given reality, I can never be happy. So Bhagavad Gita teaches that, and that will be the theme of 13th chapter also, teaches that what obtains in all the diversity is unity. In all diversity, in all disparity, they are all only superficial, only of the nature of the costume. The personality, the person that manifests through the personality is one, samaha, nirdosha, free from all defects, meaning that ever pure. The self is ever pure, ever immaculate, you want to call it, and unaffected by the impurities of the personality. Like an actor is never affected by the characters of his costume. He remains what he is, whether he wears a costume of a king or a beggar. So wise person knows himself as samaha. The reason why he is able to appreciate others is because his own perception of himself has changed primarily. As we'll see, what Vedanta teaches is changing the perception of one's own self. Samaha. Inasmuch as so that ultimately we can have the vision of the samaha, the one that is equally there. Lord Krishna starts teaching how to maintain that evenness in our day-to-day life. To ultimately see the sama, the Ishvara, or Brahman, or the Self, or the Truth, which equally abides everywhere. Lord Krishna teaches how we should learn to maintain the sameness of the mind, even in this diversity or in disparity. And so the first lesson of samatvam came in Bhagavad Gita. The second chapter, Siddhya Siddhyo Samo Bhutva Samatvam Yoga Uchyate. He, Arjuna, may you be even-minded with reference to success and failure. That even-mindedness of the mind, evenness of the mind, which looks upon success, which is prepared for success and failure, which is willing to accept gracefully whether it is success or failure. That's evenness. Willingness to accept gracefully either success or failure. By not identifying with any of them, by not judging myself with any of them. That's the first lesson of samatvam, which ultimately culminates into knowing that each person is the same. The personalities are different. Thus Lord Krishna in 7 verses has taught some 35 or so different characteristics of this wise person, of a devotee, of a wise person. What are the characteristics? Something that is spontaneous, something that is effortless. This is what the wisdom does to us. This is what devotion does to us. It brings about a complete transformation in us. Call it knowledge, call it wisdom, call it devotion. What is the effect of that? What's the benefit? Benefit is a complete transformation within ourselves. And what does that transformation result into? Was described in these 7 verses. Adveshta sarabhutanam. You just become free from all aversion, all dvesha. No dvesha or aversion remains in you. In the true wisdom, no aversion remains in you. was a true wisdom to recognize the samaha, recognize the same person everywhere as my own self. Recognize myself as manifest everywhere. And so, total freedom from etc. So all these beautiful attributes, Lord Krishna went at great length to describe the characteristics of the wise person, called lakshana, characteristics, the distinguishing marks. What is the lakshana? A distinguishing mark. And there were these distinguishing marks of a wise person or a devotee were described. Now we come to the last verse, the verse 20th verse, where Lord Krishna describes not so much the wise person as is an aspirant or a seeker who wants to be wise. So 7 verses describe the wise person. 8 verses describe the one who wants to be wise. So describing that in the verse 20 we are told.
Ye tu dharmyamritam idam yathoktam paryupasate Shraddhanamat paramaha Bhaktaste diva me priyaha.
Ye tu, there is a tu there, that distinguishes this person from the person described so far. Those who, however, meaning that the earlier verses, 7 verses, from 13 to 19, described a perfected person, one who has brought about a perfection in oneself. That shows that we can become perfect, which is what we are seeking to be all the time, want to become perfect. But what is that perfection? That is what Lord Krishna describes here. We think perfection meaning doing everything right. Perfection means being successful all the time. Whatever our concept of perfection may be, that's what we are seeking. But what the true perfection is described here. In many other places in the Bhagavad Gita. But this is the most elaborate description. What is perfection? When you become totally free from all aversion. When you become friendly to everybody. When you are compassionate to all, when you can maintain the evenness of your mind in all the changing situations, when to forgive is something very spontaneous to you, Shami, when you never threaten any, you never become a cause of fear or threat to anybody. You are never afraid of anybody, nor will you become a cause of fear to anybody. Situations do not create in you different reactions. That you always abide in your fullness or cheerfulness or happiness. The happiness that you are is not disturbed because of situations. So this is how perfection is described. Perfection not at the level of the body. Perfection at the level of the emotional mind, really. Perfection at the level of emotion. That is where the real growth is. That is the real transformation to take place. The 2 kinds of transformations are required. One is transformation in our understanding at the level of intellect. And secondly, a transformation in our emotional being. So that's the real success. Real perfection is described here. That you become an emotionally healthy person. You gain a freedom to express your emotions. You gain freedom to express your love or compassion. Right now my love is confined only to mine, you know. I'm a very loving person when it comes to some people. When other people, that love gets blocked. Not this fellow, not this fellow. He did this, he did that, whatever. And so, right now, there are so many inhibiting factors, Who doesn't want to love? Everybody wants to love. But there is some obstacles in our own mind that they do not allow us to be free. Do not allow us to be kind. Do not allow us to be generous. I'm generous to some people, so take it. Somebody else comes, I'm sorry. Thus my generosity is, I have it all. I don't need to go someplace else to get love and charity. It's all there. That's what I'm made up of. But then there are inhibiting factors. Those factors inhibit the manifestation of my goodness. Inherently I'm a good person. I'm a kind person. I'm a loving person. And I love to be a loving person. I love to be a kind person. I love to be a good person. That's what I love to be, because that's my nature. But something within myself alone inhibits, obstructs the manifestation of the true nature of myself. And instead, very often, I come across as a cruel person rather than being a loving person. I come across as a self-centered person. I come across as an insensitive person. So what? Is that my nature? That's not my nature. By nature, I am what is described in this 7 verse. So in fact, even though it is description of the wise person, it is our own description. This is what we truly are. And that's called moksha freedom, when I am free, without inhibitions, to express or manifest this nature of myself. Nothing comes in the way of my being a loving person, regardless of what the other person, what the situation is. Adveshta sarva bhutanam. One who is free from aversion to all the beings. All the beings include those fellows who are his enemies also, supposedly. But he has no dvesha, no aversion, no hatred for anybody. Maitra, one who is friendly to all. Karuna, compassionate to all. Sarva bhutanam. Lord Krishna doesn't say only to a few people. The sarva-bhutanam to all the beings applies to everything. Adveshta sarva-bhutanam, maitra sarva-bhutanam, karuna sarva-bhutanam. Can you imagine, you can meditate on yourself that you are like this. That will be very proper meditation, that I am a kind, loving person to all the beings. How wonderful that. Oh, this fellow hates me, but I am loving to that person. Suppose you are, what else do you need? We don't need anything else in life, really. That's all that we need, that's what we already are, thank God. We already are what we need. All that is needed is just to remove the obstacles. That's what Vedanta teaches. What are the obstacles? What is ignorance, and what is ahankara, what is mamakara, what is raga, what is dvesha? So thus, the sadhana or the spiritual practice is only of the nature of removing obstacles. Just getting rid of something. Letting go of things. So this is an ideal. As I said, this is a description of my own self. This is an ideal that everybody entertains. Knowingly or unknowingly, this is an ideal of everybody. There is no exception. Nobody wants to be a cruel person. Even a person who appears to be cruel doesn't want to be a cruel person. Unless a person has abused the free will to such an extent that he becomes insensitive, incapable of understanding what his own urge is, that happens. By abusing the free will, we can become so insensitive that we may not be able to understand what our own urge is. And I may think that this is cruelty is a way of life, that's the right thing to do. That shows a tremendous abuse of one's own self. But otherwise, all normal people want to be like this. So Lord Krishna says, those seekers who have understood this, who have value for this, ye tu dharmya amrutamidam yathoktam pariupasate. Those people who have not yet become this, who have not gained that perfection, who are still struggling. We struggle with our own emotions. What is it you struggle with? I'm struggling with my own emotions. There's nothing else to struggle with. Even struggling with the world also is struggling with my own emotions, nothing else. Well, the world pushes some buttons and therefore it looks like a struggle. But ultimately struggle is nothing but my own emotions, my own impulses. So those who are struggling, they are described in the second line, Shraddhanaha Mat Paramaha. But the important thing is Mat Paramaha. What is Mat Paramaha? Mat means aham, meaning I, means Lord says Mat Paramaha. those for whom I am the ultimate goal. You can say this is description of God also, really. If you want description of Lord Krishna, that is right here.
Advishta sarabhutana maitra karuna.
So two ways of singing glories of Lord Krishna. One way is that he lifted the Mount Govardhana and many other things that he did. Other is Advishta sarabhutana, that he is friendly, he is compassionate, he is loving, he is free from all hatred. He is even-minded. There is also a description of Lord Krishna.
Mat paramaha.
Lord Krishna says, those people who look upon me as the ultimate goal,
paramaha.
So aham, paramaha yesham. Param is ultimate goal, niratishaya gatihi. Those people who want me as their ultimate goal. What is this Lord Krishna? That is ultimate goal. This, what is described here? What is this 35 different characteristics described in those 7 verses? They describe Lord Krishna. So it depends on what kind of Lord Krishna you like, but this is also Lord Krishna. They want to be like this. Mat paramaha. I am the ultimate goal from those who want to be like this, those who want to be this bhakta, or devotee, or jnani, or a wise, or a perfect person. And to understand this as a goal requires a lot of maturity. Because to many people, this kind of a goal may not be appealing at all. Most people want to be wealthy. They want wealth. They want name. They want fame, recognition, power, heaven, worldly gains in this world, in the other world. That is what usually appeals to most people. That is why Lord Krishna says, Mat paramaha. Those who have value of becoming like this. Becoming simple people. What right now? I am a complex person. A value for becoming a simple person. Who is a complex person? A person who is difficult to relate to. You will never know how I will react. Sometimes smiling, in the same situation, sometimes, you know. So people think that, okay, this Swami likes this thing, and so you. So, same thing, I may react. Complex. Simplicity. Innocence. Simplicity. Suppose there is a value for being simple. Value for being innocent. Value for being loving. Mat paramaha. It is as simple as that. You know, this goal is very easy to understand. To be Brahman may be difficult to understand. Those words may not ring bell in our mind. Ishvara, Brahman, etc. But all of these we understand very well. What is meant by being loving? What is meant by being kind? What is meant by being compassionate? What is meant by being even-minded? Because we experience it all the time. I mean, I do display this kind of qualities now and then under certain conditions, so I know what they are. All I want, that I want to be like that under all conditions. Regardless of what the situation is. Mat paramaha. Lord Krishna says, those who look upon me, Ishvara, as the ultimate goal, as what is described here as the ultimate goal, those who are, for whom these values are valuable. As our Swamiji says, that a value becomes a value only when its value is valuable to us. Thus, compassion can become our value, provided compassion is valuable to me. Our mind is a utilitarian mind. Always asks a question. What do I stand to gain by being compassionate? Please tell me. I know what I stand to gain by being a millionaire. I know what I stand to gain by being whatever, you know, a congressman, whatever it is. But what do I stand to gain by being a compassionate person? Tell me. What do I stand to gain by being a simple person, innocent person, compassionate person? The answer is, whatever it is that you are seeking, by becoming a millionaire or whatever else, is this one. Because ultimately, everyone is seeking to be the pleased self. All we are seeking through all our worldly accomplishments also is ultimately to be a pleased self. This is a description of pleased self. You know, the description, the 35 attributes described here, is the description of a pleased self. You'll be automatically pleased when you are free from any aversion. You'll be pleased. I'm sure you'll be pleased when you are a forgiving person, a compassionate person. A person is not a threat to anybody. A person who doesn't make any claims, who doesn't compete, no threat. You'll be pleased with yourself wherever any of these qualities experienced by you. I'm sure that you'll be pleased with yourself. So Vedanta teaches, what you are seeking is to be a pleased self. We have our own notion of what that pleased self is. Our notion is the pleased self is equated to some kind of worldly gain, some becoming something other than what I am. And that's the reason why I am constantly trying to become something other than what I am. Not being pleased with the way I am right now, I am always seeking to be something else. But Vedanta says that you already are a pleased self. So if there's a value, that this is the ultimate goal that we're seeking through all the goals or ends, that kind of a maturity, mat paramaha, if this becomes very clear to us, and this should become very clear to us, what we are seeking in our life should become extremely clear to us. And lack of that clarity only distracts us, that's all. If you find our commitment is not adequate enough, our efforts are not adequate enough, it means that our clarity is not adequate enough, that's all. We have not quite understood what it is that we are seeking. If it is understood, then we would not want anything else. Mat parama. So one for whom Ishvara is the goal, one for whom this kind of perfection is a goal, one for whom the pleased self is a goal, who understands what the means of that pleased self is. That's one thing. Shraddha dhanaha, the second thing Lord Krishna says. So seekers should have these two things. Number one, a clarity about what I want. That what I want is myself already. I don't need anything else. I do not need to go somewhere else to acquire this compassion. It's all there. I'm made up of that. Each one of us is made up of kindness and compassion. We don't need to go out anywhere. All we need to do is to just remove the inhibiting factors. Attachment, aversion, fear, insecurity, self-centeredness, which are all products of ignorance. So remove them. That's all we need to do. How do you remove them? By living a certain way of life which is based on this true nature. If compassion is my true nature, then I should display that in my activities, in my interaction with the world. Fake it till you make it. What is fake it? Fake that you are a compassionate person. But Swami, I don't feel like doing that. Fake it that you are. So, therefore, at the Shraddha, there is a trust. Shraddha, the trust. Trust in what the scriptures teach. Trust in what the teachers teach. Trust in Ishvara. Trust in our own self. Shraddha. That what Vedanta teaches is true. Don't swallow it, but then at least give it a consideration and dwell upon that, deliberate upon the teaching as long as required until you are convinced about it. I'm not convinced. What is meant by Shraddha? Shraddha is that I am not convinced, not because this is wrong, I am not convinced because I have not understood clearly, so let me try to understand it properly. That's called Shraddha. Shraddha means an implicit trust in the words of scriptures, that what they say is true. Shastrasya guruvakyasya satya buddhyavadharana. The vakya, the statements of scriptures, the statements of teacher, they are satya, they are true. But Swamiji, I find it hard to be convinced, try. So just because what I am taught is not in agreement with my present conclusion, I do not dismiss that, I question my own conclusion. What is Shraddha? Shraddha is, I do not dismiss what I am taught because I don't agree with it. Rather than that, I question my own understanding. I ask myself, what basis do I have to entertain the kind of belief or entertain the kind of notion that I have? What reasoning do I have? I'll find that I have no reasoning at all. Most of the conclusion I have just taken for granted. So a person with Shraddha questions his or own conclusions rather than questioning the scriptures of the teacher. Shraddha in Ishvara. That Ishvara is with me. Ishvara is the creator, sustainer, dissolver, the order. As our Swamiji says, Ishvara is manifest as order in this creation. The order is with me. No, Swamiji, Ishvara seems to be punishing me. When things do not go our way, we feel that, Swamiji, I don't know, I'm going to lose my Shraddha. If Ishvara now doesn't do what I want, I'm going to lose my Shraddha. So real Shraddha is when we do not put any condition on Ishvara. As best as possible, an unconditional acceptance of Ishvara. Meaning, an unconditional acceptance of the order. Or whatever Ishvara does, give him the freedom. By making demands upon Ishvara, that you do this and don't do that, I am snatching away his freedom. Instead of that, give him the freedom. Let him decide. This is Shraddha. He is omniscient. He knows everything. He is omnipotent. He is capable of doing what is required to be done. And he is kind or compassionate, benevolent. Therefore, he is my well-wisher. That is where the Shraddha is required. It is easy to accept that Ishvara is all-knowing. Easy to accept that Ishvara is all-powerful. But rather more difficult to accept that Ishvara is my well-wisher. So how can you say, Swami is my well-wisher? See what is happening in my life. How do you accept this as well-wishing? That is where Shraddha is required. That I change my definition of what is well-wishing. So rather than asking Ishvara to change, I change my definition. This is called well-wishing. But I got a slap, that's called well-wishing. How? Now that you think about. Therefore, a devotee with Shraddha wants to change himself rather than keeping himself intact and changing everybody else. What we want is, we want to remain what we are. Ishvara should be like this, everybody else should be like that. Just now. Keeping Ishvara, that is, who is infallible, I change. That Shraddha enables me to slowly change my perceptions, my demands, my expectations. I become a less and less demanding person, more and more non-demanding person. Ishvara is order, so whatever happens is in order. I don't understand what is happening, but there must be a reason. I do not understand the reason. Ishvara knows the reason. Thus a devotee, on account of this faith in Ishvara, feels very protected and feels very safe. Shraddhadhana. Shraddha is very important. Because things don't go our way. We get disappointed very often. We lose faith. We lose all enthusiasm. So Shraddha enables us to maintain that enthusiasm. Because whatever we do, there should be an enthusiasm behind our effort. Shraddha enables us to retain our enthusiasm. We do not get disappointed. Shraddhadhanaha mat paramaha. When it comes to Saguna Brahma, it is all Shraddha. Nirguna Brahma, no Shraddha is required. Saguna Brahma requires Shraddha. Because he is benevolent, who knows? That everything is in order. Now that's whose words? Swami, everything is in order. I don't think everything is in order. People find a lot of disorder. In fact, they see more disorder than what is order. Because your own definition of what order is, of course. We already concluded what the order should be, and accordingly we judge other things as disorder. But a Shraddha, a devotee with Shraddha, will change his definition of order. This enables me to change my perceptions and bring about inner transformation. What we seek is an inner transformation of understanding as well as our emotions. Shraddhadhanaha matparamaha pariyupasate. Lord Krishna also says, yetu dharmyamrutam idam. These characteristics, the values these wise persons that describe, Lord Krishna calls it dharmyamrutam. Amrutam is ambrosia. Dharma means dharmadhanapetam, that which is in keeping with dharma. Lord Krishna means to say that living a life of these values is real dharma. What is dharma? Dharma is righteous conduct. There are many meanings of the word dharma, but one meaning can be righteous conduct. What is righteous conduct? Sometimes I ask a question, Swamiji, what is papa and what is punya? What is right and what is wrong? How do I decide in a given situation what is right and what is wrong? So dharma is a righteous behavior. So these values that I described here, Lord Krishna calls them dharmya. Dharma means always in keeping with dharma, always in keeping with righteousness, always in keeping with what is right. You can never be wrong if you are a compassionate person, you can never be wrong. But Swamiji, that person took advantage of me, that is that person's problem, not your problem. I'm not saying that compassionate people are stupid people. I'm not saying that. Compassionate doesn't mean you be stupid, etc. But you can never be wrong in being compassionate. You can never be wrong in being forgiving. You can never be wrong in being friendly. You can never be wrong in being loving. Dharma. Look, what is dharma? Dharma is also the behavior or action keeping the order. So there is a universal order. And our actions in keeping with that order is called dharma. So when we respect the order in our life, that action is called dharma. When we violate that order, it's called dharma. That is true everywhere. Whenever we respect the law, then we are doing what is right. When we violate the law, then we are doing something that is wrong. So just say there are laws of the land, there is a law of the universe, around which the whole universe functions, which Swami calls order. That order is an order of dharma. What is the real dharma? This is the dharma. Advesta sarabhutanam maitraha karunaha evacha. These verses are very dear to Mahatma. He used to repeat them again and again because this was his ideal. He wanted to be like this. His ideal. Should be ideal of everybody. But he sort of demonstrated. So, these characters he described are dharma because whenever I conduct myself on the basis of these characteristics, I am sure going to be in tune or harmony with the order. What it means that the order in the whole universe ultimately is not dvesha, advesha. Even in apparent cruelty that we see the order is, I said, in the core there is nothing but kindness or goodness. Whatever evil we see in the universe is all a product of ignorance. It's only superficial, it's mithya. Evil, meaning cruelty, etc., is not real. It is mithya or unreal, a product of ignorance. Similarly, whatever evil we see in our own self also, we should not give it a reality. I find myself sometimes, in myself also, cruelty, anger, etc., but I should remind myself, this is not reality of myself. I should not judge myself based on that. If you want to judge yourself based on the good behavior that you displayed at 1 minute, that is you. But in the whole day, Swamiji, I was kind only for a minute, rest of the time I was, but that is not you. Even that 1 minute kindness is you. This 1 minute may not be there, 1 second may be there. It may not be every day, it may be once in a month, but whatever it is, that's a glimpse of your true nature. That even for a moment you are a kind, loving person, that's a glimpse of your true nature. Therefore, it is in my nature also, it is nature of the order also, and therefore my behavior in keeping with that is called dharma. So in any given situation I do not understand, Swami, I don't know how to decide what to do, these values are given to us. This becomes the basis of deciding what to do in a given situation. Yetu dharmya amrutam amrutam. Amrutam kam immortality, amrutam kam ambrosia. Ambrosia is supposed to be there in heaven. The devatas seem to partake of that ambrosia. In fact, there is so little ambrosia in heaven, by the way. That ambrosia is only in a pot. Upanishad says that the devatas don't get to taste it. They only get to see it, that's all. Really? The devatas are so many. And pot of ambrosia is one. How, if they taste it, what is going to happen? It will get exhausted in no time. Therefore, all they get to do is to get to see it. But this ambrosia, you get to eat it, or drink it, or consume it. That ambrosia, which is in our own heart, in terms of Advaishta Sarabhutanam, that is ambrosia. What is ambrosia? When you are happy, joyful. And so, whenever you display any one of these characters, you are happy or joyful. Please serve. Dharmyamrutam, it is dharmyam, tadamrutam, which is in keeping with dharma or the righteousness, and which is immortal, or which is ambrosia, or which means of immortality. If amrutam is translated as immortality, that is called moksha, then these values are means of moksha. So therefore, the means also are sometimes told by the same word as the end. So if end is moksha, it's called amruta. Then these values are the means of that moksha, therefore they are also called amruta. Yetu dharmya amrutam, dharmyam amrutam, yathoktam. Lord Krishna says, as I have described in last 7 verses, pariyupasate, 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 paritaha, everywhere. Upasate anutishthante, anutishthante. Those people who follow this, practice this, observe it everywhere. So that is our goal, that we should be, that we be able to display these values under all conditions. So in a difficult situation also, when I attempt to follow this value, that will be my meditation on Ishvara, because it is Ishvara. These values are Atma also, Ishvara also, order also, and therefore, constantly dwelling upon them also becomes the worship of Ishvara. Therefore, if you say, I don't believe in, I don't go to temple, I don't do this, I don't do any puja or rituals, don't do. But Ishvara is right in your heart, and therefore, every time you ask yourself, in this situation, how can I act in keeping with these values? then you are a devotee of Ishvara. Because these values are dharma. And dharma is the order. And that's the manifestation of Ishvara. That's the manifestation of self. Yetu dharmyamrtavdam yathoktam yathauktam, as it was stated in the earlier verses. Pariyupasade, those who practice it, diligently practice it. And understand that it is not easy at all. What we are saying is, what Lord Krishna is prescribing is not easy. It should be very easy, actually. What we are told is only to act in keeping with our nature. Should be very simple. But we have become so unnatural. We are, because of ignorance, we are so deviated from our true nature that our behavior has become so distracted from our true nature that acting in keeping with true nature seems to be difficult. Sitting in a wrong posture for a long time and sitting in the right posture becomes very difficult. Again, come back. You know. So also doing things wrongly, entertaining wrong values because of ignorance, because of unintelligence. So I thought anger was the right value for me, then only you can get things done. So in my unintelligence, I seem to have adopted so many wrong things, thinking that they were my friends, they are all my enemies. And now it's not easy to get rid of them. They refuse to leave. I have to drive them away. Meaning that following this requires an effort, a strong effort, a dedicated effort. As the Swamiji says, this will not happen automatically. You will not become a compassionate person automatically. You have to initiate that process. And you have to diligently work and try to do that. So, pariyupasade, those people who make a dedicated effort for cultivating these values, for living a life based on these values, those who want to become this, because to them, that is the most valuable thing. In any situation, whatever I consider as more valuable always gets my attention and it always gets my priority. That is why following a value is so difficult, because we have many other acquired values. The value for wealth, value for my ego, value for my respect, so-called, value for my name, fame, recognition, my ego, my asserting, my power, they are so, right now, so valuable to me. You know, because I thought that is what is called success. Thus, in the course of upbringing, we acquired many values. Because we look around and find that that's what all the society and all the people, respected people, that's what they are all respecting. I want to be like them. They are my role model. I want to be like them, and therefore I have adopted inadvertently adopted wrong values. So we have two sets of values. That's what makes practicing values so difficult. That telling a lie has become a habit on my part. Because it's very convenient. You want to tell the truth is very often inconvenient and painful and will expose me. And it's not convenient. So I tell a lie and I get by. I think that I avoid, so avoid pain has always been my value. Following values is painful. Telling truth is not easy. Being honest is not easy. It's painful. Why is it painful? Because you have to let go of many things that you are attached to. We have our attachments, aversions have to be given up to follow these values. Difficult. I am so much attached to my money because of the greed, and therefore, if I have to announce and declare what my real taxes are, it's difficult. So one part of me tells, Swami, come on, tell them what's the truth. Other part says, the greedy part says, forget it. Nobody does it. Even if you do, so what? Makes no difference. This government is like this, they're wasting money. All kinds of excuses or justifications my mind will present. Just an example. And, you know, as I said, so Swamiji, if I kind, then they will all exploit me. They always ask questions as to how to avoid. What will happen, Swamiji? Will they take advantage of me? Suppose I am kind to that person, am I not spoiling that person? You know. So these kind of questions I ask. I'm always kind and the person thinks that, well, that person, he did not change. Therefore, is it right to be kind all the time? So, there is an insecure self, a fearful self, a self that wants to avoid pain, a self that wants status quo, a self that doesn't want to change, that is there. And that is the one that is an obstacle to what I want to do. Therefore, I have to very often control or subdue that self. So, acquired values and universal values. These are universal values. Why the universal? Because that is the nature of the universe. That's the nature of the self, of all. Acquire values for the worldly gains, for the ego gratification. For gratification is a great value. Sense gratification, ego gratification, that has become my value. They clash. And as our Swamiji says, acquire values are assimilated values. These are not assimilated values. Therefore, we have to see the value of these values. Assimilate the value. Because otherwise they are always pitted against assimilated values and they always lose, or very often they lose. The truth loses because greed is always more powerful. Honesty loses. Anybody has a value, it's amazing. Everybody has a value, Swamiji. I thought this only in India. I'm amazed to see how greed, everybody can be greedy. Everybody has temptation. Everybody has the same problem of being manipulated because of greed. So give them money, manipulate them. Make the decisions which are favorable to your state. I come from a state where there is a lot of oil and coal and energy, and therefore I have my own agenda. Doesn't matter what the agenda of the nation is, what the agenda of the world is, what the agenda of anybody is, I have my own agenda. Because my self-centeredness. So, meaning that we are our own obstacles. Pariupasana. Therefore, commitment is required. Understanding of value of value is required. Understanding, as in the 13th chapter Lord Krishna will say, tattva jnanartha darshanam. Remind again and again what is to be gained by this. That gain is great. And so, effort, any effort that is made is worthwhile effort. Pariupasade Shraddhadhanaha Matparamaha Bhaktaha. They are my devotees. So, devotees come in many ways. We think the devotee is the person who sings bhajans, etc., which is the devotee. But this fellow who is following this value also is a devotee. Bhaktaha, te ativa priyaha. You have to know the difference here. In the verses so far, describing the bhakta, Lord Krishna said, yo mad bhaktaha same priyaha. A devotee such as that is dear to me. So that perfected person, Lord Krishna said again and again, that is dear to me. But what does Lord Krishna say about this fellow who is only striving? Ativa priyaha. So people who are not yet perfect, who are striving, who are faltering, like a little child, trying to walk and falls down and walk, but the mother is watching. When the boy, child grows up and walks independently, then mother is not worried, not watching. Doesn't see the need. But while the child is learning to walk, mother is watching. Even if the mother allows him to fall down, knows that he is not going to hurt himself, then that falling is required, perhaps for him to learn to get up, etc. And so child should not think that my mother is cruel to me because she did not, you know, support me when I was falling down. That falling down may be also required for him to become stronger. Then mother may allow him to fall down. But make sure that he doesn't get hurt, child doesn't get hurt. That child, ativa priya, that's dearer, you know, than those who were grown up and were walking. So Lord Krishna, that these devotees of mine who are striving, struggling with Shraddha, with commitment, ativa priya, they are extremely dear to me. So we are extremely dear to God. Those are only dear. We are what? Extremely dear. With this, Lord Krishna concludes the 12th chapter. Let us read the last sentence. Om Tatsat. Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Su. Upanishatsu Brahma Vidyaya Yoga Shastre Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade Bhakti Yoga Nama Dvadasho Dhyaya Om Tat Sat. That's the conclusion. When you conclude something, Om Tat Sat. Then this is the end of it. Meaning it's stop. This is full stop. Om Tat Sat. It in this manner, Srimad Bhagavad Gita. So, in this Bhagavad Gita, the word is placed in plural. Bhagavad Gita. So, in the songs of the Lord, Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Srimada Bhagavata Gita. That which is sung by the Lord, who is possessed of Shri, or wealth, or Brahma Vidya, or Srimati Bhagavati Gita, Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Srimata Bhagavata Gita. What is Gita means what? Gita means that which is sung. Gita means song, or Gita means that which is sung from the root Gai. That's a past participle. Srimata Bhagavata Gita. This which is sung by Bhagavan, when is endowed with Shri, or the Lakshmi, or the Brahma Vidya, or Srimati Bhagavati Gita. Gita herself is Bhagavati. She herself is divine, possessed of all the powers. Bhagavan is the one who possesses all the powers. Aishwaryasya samagrasya dharmasya yashasah shriyah vairagyasya atha mokshasya shannam bhagaitingana. So one who possesses all the six glories in totality is called Bhagavan. Even Bhagavad Gita is Bhagavati. Srimati, possessed of all the wealth, all the beauty, all the knowledge. Srimati, Bhagavati Gita, Tasu, in this Gita's, in these songs of the Lord, Upanishatsu, which teaching is nothing but that of the Upanishad. So many Upanishads are there in Bhagavad Gita. Like every chapter is an Upanishad. Brahma Vidyaya, where the main subject matter is Brahma Vidya, knowledge of Brahman, knowledge of God, knowledge of Self. Yoga Shastra, also the other topic is Yoga, the means of gaining that knowledge. So knowledge is the end, Yoga is the means for the end. Meaning that Gita Shastra, the scripture, teaches us both means as well as end, or end as well as the means. Sri Krishna Arjuna Samvade, which is the nature of Samvada, a dialogue. Samvada is here between Guru and Shishya, not between equals. Vada is a discussion among equals. Samvada is a discussion that takes place between Guru and Shishya, where the Shishya or the disciple has that reverence and devotion and trust in the Guru, and the Guru has a care and concern and compassion for and the perseverance and patience towards the disciple, then what takes place is Samvada. Bhakti Yoga Nama Dvadasho Dhyaya. This 12th chapter, whose name is Bhakti Yoga, where the topic is Bhakti, iti, thus in this manner it is completed. So with this we complete the 12th chapter of the Gita. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Shankaram Shankaracharyam Keshavam Vadarayanam Shakritau Vande Bhagavantau Punah Punah Ishvaro Guru Ratmedi Murti Bheda Vibhagine Vyomavad Vyapta Dehaya Dakshinamurtaye Namah Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namah Hari Om.